topic today is on complex networks and some aspect of transport in complex network. What is a complex network? For me, a network is contains the nodes, which are for example the green sites here, and links, and you see the connection between them is very complex and looks in the picture. And there is a lot of work since 2000 about complex network, and I will give some introduction to this new field, which has a lot of, I think, interest and many new results. And this work that I'm going to describe is a combination of three places: my university, Bologna University, my students, Boston University, and City College. And some of the papers are mentioned here: this 2005, 2006, PRL, 2006 again, another one, and PNAS, which will appear soon. Now, why transport is important? The network that can represent many types of systems. For example, if you look on the network that I showed here, the nodes can represent computers, for example, and the links are the cables between them. It can represent the social network, people, and the links are the connection between the people. So, for example, in social network, we are interested in spreading of, for example, diseases, spreading of humors, and many questions are important to study on such networks. And for example, one example of the network is the internet, as you see here, a partial picture of the internet around the globe. And the transport is a very important aspect of network. This is one of the main functions of network is transport, for example, emails in the internet. Biological networks become very active field now. People study biological network. And so, for example, flow, metabolic flow in biological network is important. And spreading of epidemics in social network is also active field. Passengers in airline network. So, as you see, transport is very important. And not much is done on transport. The main focus in past years was more on the structural properties of network, like robustness of network, how the network is robust to failures, to attacks on the network. This was studied. And what is the shortest path, the distances on network, what is the degree distribution. Degree means the number of links per node, the distribution of the number of links per node in a network, gross models to generate networks, but less was done. There are a few results on dynamic, on transport, but we don't have a general theory yet, I think, for transport network, and I will not also give a general theory. I'll give also some results on transport network. I think the global picture is still missing for transport network. First of all, network is very complicated, and transport is even more complicated. So let me give you some introduction about the network field. So usually, the network started with the classic, we call it now the classical random graph theory of Erdős-Reyni, which assumed that you have an ensemble of graphs. Graph is the mathematical word for network, which has n vertices, n nodes, and m edges, and you connect them randomly. So you choose two sides, for example, and you connect them with a link until you finish the number of links, and then you get a network. And the question is, what are the properties of the ensemble of such graphs? And this was the focus of the 1960 famous work of Erdős and Reyni, student. And they found several important results. One important result is the degree distribution of the number of links per node is given by Poisson function. P of k is Poissonian, where k is the degree, and k average is of course 2m, because 2m is the number of links divided by n. And one more result, which already found by Erdős and Reyni, is that if you start to remove links from the system, and you ask what happens when does the system percolate, so QC, is usually we use Q for the concentration of nodes that are removed from the system, Q QC is one over PC. PC is the number of nodes that remain in the system. It's given by 1 minus 1 over K average, which means that you can estimate if you have a system with K average given by 2m over n, so you know what is the critical percolation when the system collapses into small clusters. Usually when K average is above 1, usually you can go along the network from any two, connect any two nodes, but when QC is above 1 minus 1 over K, then you have small clusters. And what is interesting, that the exponent was found also by Erdos and Reni. It was found in the same time by physicists and mathematicians, and the critical exponents are the same as mean field. Critical exponents for percolation in six dimensions was done by people in mathematics and physics. So there was a similar work. Now another result, important result, was that the distance here is proportional to log n. It means we have n nodes, the distance is very small, log n is a small number, and this I think is the origin for the name small world, that if you have a network, you have actually each node you can hop from one node to another by log n steps, and you reach anyone in the system. However, in the last 7 years, it was realized since 1999 that many networks are not Poissonian. This is the Poisson network, which means that you have a Poisson number of the degree distribution is Poisson, the number of links per node follow Poisson. But there are also many networks which are very broad, and some of the networks are so broad that they are characterized by Paolo degree, Paolo distribution, which means that you can have Paolo decays much lower than Poisson. It means that you can have you have also nodes which has very high degree, which you cannot have since in Poisson decays very fast and you can't do not have. And this is called the Barabasi-Albert result, which was found in 1999, and also at the same time three computer scientists measured the internet. Their names is Palutos, three brothers, and they practiced it, and they got the same result, also power distribution. Why I'm interested, many people are interested, because you see, if you look on this network, this is a kind of homogeneous network. Homogeneous, each node has almost the same number of neighbors. However, in this network, which is scale-free, I call it heterogeneous, there is a breaking of symmetry, of translational symmetry. Here you have every node is the same, so if you go from one node to another, the environment is the same. In this, it's not the same. You have nodes which have very few links, but you have nodes that have many, many links, so this break of symmetry leads to many anomalous behavior, it changes the universality class, and many anomalous laws become relevant. And that's why I think it's interesting.
Is the cutoff, but that has a cutoff in it.
Cutoff usually changes with the size.
Yeah, that's what
that's
saying.
Why. That's
certainly
why,
not
yeah,
with an
no, not the cutoff. Cutoff usually changes with size. It was mounted in the size bigger. Maybe I'll show later some result. What is the difference between the two types of network? The network that was studied by Erdos, of course, Erdos results are valid because they assume a certain kind of model. But Poisson is like the roads, for example, in America. So every city has a certain number of roads from this city to other cities. However, the Paolo is very similar to the airline network. And indeed, the airline network was studied and was found that a very beautiful Paolo for several decades, the degree distribution, which means that you have nodes which has only very few routes of flights, and there are also others which has very many. And when it was studied, the paper was done by Vespignani in PNAS a year ago, they showed that they studied the worldwide network of airline network, and they found a very nice power distribution.
What
exponent? The exponent, usually, the exponents are between 2 and 3. This is what is interesting, because it's kind of a very small exponent, relatively small. Now, We also, in physics, we studied a lot of networks. We usually study lattices network. We study this type of networks. And these networks are in the same class of Erdos-Schrödinger. Because you have actually, what is typical in Erdos-Schrödinger? You have a typical number of neighbors. Typical can mean an average, plus minus something. But this is not very different. Actually, it's the same universality class as lattices. Although in lattices you have exactly the same, but exactly not different for purpose of changing the universality class. So the universality class is the same. So we were interested in physics also, in networks, and of course we have some results. But the breaking of symmetry that happens in real, in many real networks, like this is the WWW, changes the physics, changes the laws that we have. And this is what I'm going to show you in some of my next slide. So first of all, this is WWW, the work that was studied by Barabashi, and he found that it's a power law distribution. You see here the degree distribution is a power law, and this is different from published in Science 1999. And this, together with the work of Falutos was actually the beginning of understanding that many networks cannot be built but using the Erdos-Schrödinger, which is a Poisson, very broad distribution. And these are the figures, the original figures of Falutos, which show a power law distribution of the internet network. Another, for example, biological network that was studied also by Barabashi and his group showed that the metabolic network, we spoke in the last lecture about the metabolism, so this is a network, which means you have nodes, which are the chemicals, and the links are the reaction between them. And you can generate a network. This is the type of network. And when you measure this network in many organisms, all of them show nice power law behavior. I mean, it's not Poisson, at least. It's very broad distribution. You can have degrees, low degrees, and you can have also, I mean, mostly are low degrees, as you see in the power law, but you can have also many high degrees. Here it comes up to 500. These are different metabolic network for different organisms. And all of them are skin-free. Now, what they found also, when they studied the different organisms, that even the distance, it means the diameter, the distance means what is the mean distance between every pair of, all pairs of nodes in the system. And the distance is, of course, the number of hops, minimum number of hops that you go from one node to another. And the distance, remember I told you, was log n in the Erdos-Schrödinger, but here in this system it was first found that it does not show the log n, it shows almost independent of n. The distance does not depend on the size of the network. And the question is, why is this? So what we did is we analyzed actually theoretically, analytically, what happens to a network, what is the distance for a network where you have a scale distribution. When you have a power law degree distribution, this was done for random networks, random scale-free network, and it was shown the following result, it was found. When lambda is greater than 3, you get again the Erdos-Schrödinger network. You remember the small word L log n, the distance of log n. When lambda is above 3, it means that that actually you don't have very high degree because lambda is large enough and the number of hubs with high degree is very small. So you get again this result, and this was done also by Bolobash did it for Erdos-Schrödinger, and Newman did it for lambda greater than 3, got log n. However, when you start to get lower than 3 or even 3, you start to get correction to log n, to the distance, log n divided by log n. When you get to lambda between 2 and 3, what happens is it becomes a new class of network, a new universality class. The distance does not anymore follow log n, but becomes log n. It is easy to understand, because if you have hubs which connect to many nodes, those nodes that are connected by the hubs, the distance is very small. So it reduces the distance, but it's not only reducing the distance by a factor, but by log n. And this is probably why, if you take a K-free network, you cannot see the dependence. Log n is a very small dependence, so it's almost constant. when lambda is 2, you get that the distance is constant, because actually one hat controls almost the system. And almost all the nodes, if they are connected by one hat, the distance is only 2. You go to the hat, and then you go to the other node. So this is one result that was published in this paper. Now, what happens if you have this order on the links? This order means that the distance, the weight of the links, or the price that you pay, or the time, is not the same for each link. And then you want to find. The model is the random scale free. You assume only that you have k to the minus lambda, and you have a random bulk, random configuration of k to the minus lambda, and you can parallelize the system. This was confirmed later by other analysis.
It doesn't sound like
it's
very well defined.
I didn't say it's very general. I say the opposite. Very specific. I said it's random. Random is very fine.
Yeah, but
it's still telling me that there is a proportional constant here. I don't see anything about the proportional constant. I mean, this twiddle you mean, or this one?
Yeah, that's
what I mean. Okay, it's very specific. It's for random configuration. All random configuration is k-free.
So you fix the degree sequence and then you choose a random graph.
All random graphs, I think all the examples are random graphs, and then you get the distance. Now, when you have this order, yes?
Question is to clarify my understanding.
Yeah.
So, if you take a random graph and you condition it upon that particular degree distribution,
yeah.
The claim is that these results are going to hold.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
That's the model.
Yeah. The model is fix only the degree. But you take all configurations, random graph is the same thing as the degree.
So you're not, it's nothing to do with how you construct. I mean, you're just saying a random graph conditioned upon that degree.
Yeah, that's right. Now, what happens now, you take the same random graphs, but you the links are not the same. The links are not one unit. The distance is given from a distribution, and the distribution is very broad. If you take a broad distribution, broad enough, I will not go into it. But then you get for the Erdos Reini already, and for lambda greater than 4, which is this regime, the Erdos Reini, instead of getting log n, the distance becomes much larger, n to the 1/3. And this is also a new analytical result, was published in 2003, which means that that it becomes a large world. If you compare this, small world means log n. This is, we call it ultra small world, log n. And if you are optimized, you take the optimal path, which is related to minimum spanning of this on the Erdos Reini, you get n to the 1/3. This is for lambda greater than 4. If lambda is smaller than 4, you get other dependence. I mean, this exponent becomes dependent on lambda. So what you see that you have a new classes because of the scale free. Actually, the optimal path was studied earlier by Manavar, Chiplak, and Maritain on lattices. They studied it in 1960. This study in lattices, but this is result for not for networks. Now, other yes.
But for instance, for some monolithic finite lambda, you can have the same lambda like lambda equals zero.
Of course.
And for instance, if you consider all graphs which are trees, you ought to have log n.
Yeah,
if you have not trees in the loops, you have log n divided by log n.
This is for
so
lambda 3.
Yes, so
I agree that it's not, I mean, if you have other type of graphs, for example, if you consider, as you say, you can have even this result is different for trees and non-trees. The non-trees include this. So also here, you can generate other graphs which are not all the same for random graphs. Random graphs, you don't enforce trees to be trees. Trees are the kind of trees. Okay, so now, other results which are more anomalies happens in this scale-free graphs is that percolation actually does not, there is no percolation threshold. It means in order to destroy the network scale-free, you need to remove essentially all the nodes in the network. If you leave a certain probability. I mean, QC you see is one. This is for random removal of nodes. PC is one minus QC becomes zero for lambda smaller than one. And what you can see it very easy from the general formula for the QC, you can show that for any network, any random network, the QC is given by one minus one over, it should be, okay, kappa, you shouldn't call it, zero, it doesn't matter. It's given by this ratio. And since you see that kappa, this K0, actually diverges when lambda is smaller than 3. When lambda is smaller than 3, K squared average diverges. So K0 diverges. And that's why QC becomes 1. So QC is 1 by this using this formula. Indeed, for Poisson, if you take Poisson, this is very general. If you take Poisson, you can show that K0 this is given by this ratio, which means this, and then you get back the Erdős-Reinl result. So the Erdős-Reinl is actually a particular case of this general result. Yes?
When you say there's no percolation, what do you mean by percolation?
Percolation means that even if you remove all the concentration of 100% of the node, still what is left is still connected. You don't have, I mean, the not everything. I mean, of the order of
linear
function. Yeah, of the order of n. So this is was very surprising, and but this explains actually why viruses in the internet survive for a very long period. I mean, according to other training, they should, after 1 week, 2 weeks, they should disappear, the viruses. But this was a big puzzle in computer science. Why viruses survive so long? But this reason, I mean, the PC goes to zero, is the explanation, because actually they can continue to survive even if you're immune. Any fraction of the network, still viruses survive. So this was the explanation that is accepted now for viruses in the network, viruses bones in the network. Now, if you have you understand the topology, you can also maybe suggest ways to immune the network. So one way to immune the network is a good way, and regarded now as the best way, is to immune the hubs, the largest degree K in the network. Because if you immune them, then they stop the disease, they stop the viruses epidemics in the network. It's very low. So instead of having, you see, here you need to immune 100% of the nodes in order to stop the epidemics in the network. But if you immune randomly, but if you immune the hubs, you need only about less than 20% of the nodes, you get a very good immunization. So this is intentional, which means you know the hubs. But if you don't know the hubs and you want to immune, you don't know who are the hubs, you can still make a random immunization, which we call equated immunization. It means you choose a node. Instead of immuning this node, you immune its neighbor. And when you immune its neighbor, what you get that instead of 100%, you immune only 30% in lambda, you see 2.5. And the reason is simple, because if you choose a node, usually it is connected to R, and then in the neighbor, and you can show it mathematically, and it works very well. So what I want to say that scale-free is a new topology. That's why not only PC is different, not only the critical threshold is different, but also the exponents are different. Critical exponents are different and anomalous, and not like regular mean field, which you have for Erdős-Reinl, but for scale-free you have different exponents because the topology is different. You break the symmetry, whenever you break the symmetry, you change the topology. And the universality class also depends, the universality class depends also how you approach percolation. If you approach the percolation randomly, you get one universality class. If you approach, for example, a percolation by removing first the hubs, you get another class. So the classes are also depending very much on the way you reach them. Now, is scale free enough to characterize the network? The answer is not. And for example, and this was found only in the year 2005, I think it's here, yeah, that actually there are two types of topologies that one can distinguish in the network. One is fractal topology, and the other is non-fractal networks. And the fractal networks are self-similar, and they have they can be analyzed in the following way. If you take a network and you divide it into boxes size L, it means you take in a box all the nodes which are within a distance L. How big distance L? And then now you change L and you calculate the number of boxes that you need to cover the optimal number of boxes you need to cover the network. This is actually the original definition of Hausdorff, of fractal dimension. But of course, Hausdorff did it in the regular space, in geometrical space. We are doing it in the chemical space, in the shortest path space, which is also a well-defined metric. And then when you do this, and you find that the number of boxes is a power loop of the B. This was also described very well. The fractal image was, the name fractal was given by Mandelbrot, who is supposed to be in the conference. I met him today, he wanted that he had to prepare his talk, so that's why he will come later. But actually he did a great contribution for the fractal network. So you see here the fractal network, you have in many cases, for example, WWW, some sexual network, some cellular network, they have a well-defined fractal dimension between 2 and 5, which means that the number of boxes goes like L, I mean, to some power. And this introduced self-similarity in the network. So why is it important? Because the fractal geometry gives us tools to study structural properties, and now we have new tools of fractal to understand better the topology of the network. For example, if you make a renormalization of the WWW network, so this is after taking boxes of size 3, which means this point here is already 3 nodes. It's already not 3 nodes. All nodes is in a distance 3 so from each other. Yeah.
So here the relative limit is L to infinity, right?
Again?
Well, here you're taking larger and larger boxes.
Larger and larger boxes, yeah.
So,
larger. So this is when you cover the WWW with boxes of size 3. This is what you see. After this is, you cover it with boxes of size 9. And this is 27. So you can see, you can imagine the self-similarity in the network. And indeed, when you measure the number of boxes for WWW, you get a power law. Others, you get also a power law. This is the number of boxes. This power law actually represents the fractal dimension. These are other cellular networks. And in particular, in biological networks, many of them are fractals. And we studied maybe 50 type of biological network where the interaction are between the proteins or metabolic network. And they all show very nice power law for the number of boxes versus the size of the box. However, not all the networks are power law. Are fractals, for example, the internet. When you do the internet, you don't find the power law. So the internet doesn't seem to be. So actually, you can say that there are two types of networks. Some networks which are fractals, another type which are not fractals in nature. So what about now the function of the network, the transport? As I told you, transport is very important. And there is no general theory for transport on fractals. So let me show you what we know. And so there is no general theory for transport on networks. We do have theory for transport in fractals. And transport in lattices, for example, we know the Einstein law, fixed law, that R squared is proportional to time. This is for lattices, and rho, the resistance, for example, or the it goes like L, where L is the size of the system to the power of 2 minus D. However, when you look on fractals, you do have anomalous transport. R squared is not anymore proportional to T, but T to the power 2 over dW. And this dW is usually greater than 2. These are a kind of fractal, for example. If a random walk is here, it has more difficulties to reach this regime because it has bottlenecks here of all sizes. And that's why in all scales it becomes slower, and that's why you have a new law, a new diffusion exponent, this dW. And this dW, and also the exponent of zeta is not anymore the relation between the resistance and the size is not anymore 2 minus t, but it's anomalous also zeta. But there is a relation, due to Einstein relation, between dw and zeta, which is dw is equal to df, the fractal dimension of the system, plus zeta. This is a well-established result in fractals. But fractals, these fractals are very different from the fractal in the network, and the reason is because here you do have the symmetry. The symmetry that almost every node has the same number of neighboring nodes. However, if you remember in the network, it's not the same. So you do have different, the degree distribution is not the same. So this is the result of fractal, but we want to check what happens in network. What do we know in network? So let me show you some results that were found, for example, on network by Bolt and Ben Avraham. They found that transit time, faster, escape-free network grows, works are recurrent despite the infinite dimension. This is interesting because it's not, in escape-free, works are recurrent, although we know that they are not recurrent in three dimension and above. So here they are recurrent. And another result by Lazarus and Lazarus-Gallos found super diffusion that depending on lambda, but there is another result for by Noen-Rieger, exact expression for the mean first passage time on network. What I will discuss here is two new work, recent work on transporter network. First of all, that there is this paper by Lopez et al. In PRL 2005, work distribution of conductances and diffusion constant, depending on the degrees. So in regular fractals or in regular systems, the measurement of, for example, of rho, of the resistance, if as long as the distance was L, it did not care if you measure here, or you measure here, or you measure here, to every point, if the distance is L, you get the same result. A network is not the same. It depends on where you start, which degree you start, and which degree you end. Because the resistance depends very much on the degree distribution. This is also correct for auto-shrinking. If the degree is larger, the resistance becomes smaller, because you have more paths to go from one place to another. However, in the regular network, in fractals, even, it's not like this. The number of paths is almost the same. So let me show you, and so I will speak about this, and I will show you also application in a real biological network of this. So first of all, what do we do? We study the following question. We take a network, like scale-free or even Hermo-Schrenny, doesn't matter, and you measure, you put voltage in one node of zero and one, and another voltage, let's say zero, and you measure, you solve the Kirchhoff equation, and you measure the conductance or the resistance between the two nodes. And then you plot the distribution, you take many pairs, and or all pairs, and you plot the distribution of conductances. And what you see for Erdos-Schrenny, this is the Erdos-Schrenny result. You see, it drops very fast. It means you don't have high conductances. This is the regime of high conductances. However, when you do the same for this drop is already was known before by was done by Kester. Kester published it. Actually, he didn't publish. He put it in the web. There's a paper, a famous paper by Kester in the web, where he studied very well the resistance or conductance of Erdos-Schrenny network. So this is known. However, for scale-free, what you see a very long tail, Paolo tail. This is for 2.5 and for 3.5 also Paolo. And what is the origin of this pair? The origin of this is actually the high degree nodes. High degree nodes, they have much better conductance. And I will show you soon how they contribute to the conductance. So what you see here, is first of all, you fix here, let's say one of the nodes to be very large, above degree 1000, and you look on now on the other node, degree 4, degree 8, degree 16, 32, and you see what happens, the distribution changes, goes from 4, it's very low conductors, when you go to 8, it becomes larger, go to 16 is larger, 32 is larger, so the conductance changes according to the minimum degree. But, yes?
So, I don't understand, this is the conductance between
any two nodes, which one of them is,
well, one of them is, the
is high degree, and the other is small degree. So the this is also, this I think is for any, or for any, it doesn't matter. So what happens is that small degree actually controls very much the conductance. You see, it's very sharp peaks here. So the small degree, it can be understood why, because if you have a small degree and a high degree, the number of paths that you can have is controlled by the small degree. You cannot have more than four paths. So if you have degree 8, you can have only 8 paths. But this is very dramatic. So the distribution for this one is, you can see, depends very much on the small degree node. So it's not like in other system, homogeneous system, where you don't care where you start, where you finish. It's very much dependent on the where you start and finish. This is not true only for resistance, it's also true for diffusion. If you start a rocket from the degree, one small degree to a high degree, or to another degree, it depends where you start and where you go. So it's very heterogeneous. These networks are very heterogeneous, depending on the places where you start and you go. And as I said, you can see that you have many more parallel sites, and that's why the conductance become larger and larger. Now, if you assume that the number, you can also measure. This is measurements, actually, from this. When you look on, you measure the most probable G. What is the most probable G for different K? You get a linear curve. It means G star is proportional to KB. It means that the conductance is simply proportional to the number of degree that you have from the smallest degree node. And this is linear. And now if you do this, you can also calculate the distribution of G. You take P of KB, and then you take, this is the minimum one, but the maximum can be any one between KB and infinite. So integrate this, and then you get the P of G is simply KB to the power minus 2 lambda minus 1. Since this KB can be assumed to be proportional to G, we get that the distribution is going like G to the minus small g, and small g is actually my 2 lambda minus 1. So we expect that actually the tail of this, the tail according to this theory, the tail should be a 2 lambda minus 1. And indeed, when we measure this, so this is the theoretical result. When we measure now for different lambda, it doesn't matter. You can go to lambda above 2 or above 3 or below 3. You get always power laws. And when you measure the power laws, indeed you see that this power actually follows the exponent minus 1 is given by 2 lambda minus 2, because I took minus 1 here. So it's very good agreement with the theory. But what is important is now that in networks in general, in particular in scale-free networks, it's more, everything depends not only on the distance, but also on the degree. So you have heterogeneity in the transport. Transport is not one, you can say I have one diffusion constant between any points which are at a distance L, but it depends also on the degree, which degree I start and which degree I end, so what is the resistance. And indeed the scaling, you can show that this scaling actually is valid, but not only this scaling, in regular fractal, this F and this D are constant, independent on K, because K1 and K2 are the same. K1, all K's are the same. Here they depend on K, and there is a new exponent that appears here in the scaling, which is called decay. And what is interesting, one can show that this decay, and if you have fractal, this is the fractal dimension of the network, together they are related to lambda. So there is a relation between the lambda and the fractal dimension and decay. Decay actually tells you what is the degree in a box of size L? In the fractal, you take a size of size L, and what is the average degree in this size, or the maximum degree? And the scaling is between the degree and the size of the box goes like this. So this is another fractal exponent, And these two factors, one actually gives you lambda. I don't show the proof, but one can show it analytically. So, but you see that, so these networks are very different from the network that we studied in fractals, because they have also a strong dependence on the starting and the ending point of the resistance, or the starting and the ending point of the diffusion. These are the measurements on real network. These figures show that the scaling actually work on two types of network, protein network and yeast, protein network of yeast, and also it was a metabolic network. So these are the scaling. So we measure from different K, different nodes, but the scaling seems to work. Of course, you have a lot of noise here. And what is interesting also that you can reproduce results which were done by biological measurements that show that actually few in the metabolic network, only few nodes control the flux in the system. And you see it also here when you measure also the, because of the topology, it shows that only there are few nodes which have high degree, they control the flux in the system.
What is the meaning of the resistance R in the biological system?
The resistance? The resistance assumes that each, in the real network you mean?
No, this one, in biological.
A biological one. Okay, no, the resistance, we assume that it's unit between each. We look only at the topology, not in the real resistance, but we assume topology. So already in topology, you can see there is a lot of information on the network. And even you can also draw different function of the network. You can see if you draw the network according to the conductance and resistance. I will not. Now, what you can do also in a network, in fractal network, which you cannot do in non-fractal network, is renormalize and find directly the exponents. For example, if you have this network, you remember you take a box of size, let's say this is size 2, each one, and when you renormalize, you get another box, another network, which is smaller now. It has only 5 nodes, because each box represents now a new node. And you can do it several times, and you can measure how the time, diffusion time, is renormalized, and how the resistance is renormalized from this network to this network, and in fractal you expect that this will be the exponent, which is the W, the exponent of the diffusion, and here the exponent of the resistance divided by dB, because we take N. N is the number of nodes in the system. The number of node changes. And what is surprising, interesting, that when you do this, you see immediately when you measure, this is real measurement between R and R prime after normalizing the pin and metabolic network. And in both cases, you see that R and R prime are strongly correlated. And this exponent is actually this function. You can do it for different sizes, and you can find actually different renormalization steps, and you can find this exponent. And you see these are two. I mean, two of them are the real network, and two of them are models. All of them follow straight lines, which are log-log scale, which means that you have actually an exponent. And you can measure these exponents. And the question is now, is the Einstein relation also valid here? This is a global measure, not local. I mean, I take all the conductors and average them over the system. Yeah, I think I'm finishing soon. When you do this, and we want to test if the Einstein relation is valid, what you see here is that instead of writing in this way, that the fractal dimension plus zeta, actually now it is in geometrical space, but everything is in the metric of the hopping distance. You can define dB and zeta, and when you write it in this way, and you measure, you remember I measured zeta over dB for different four networks from the slopes, showing here, from these slopes you measure this exponent, and this exponent should follow that dW over dB is 1 plus zeta over dB, and the results are not very bad. I mean, if you take, you see here, this is dW over dB, it's 0.98, so this is not far from 1 plus 0.8, it's within the error barrier, this is 1.2, this is 0.3, 1 plus this is 1.3, These are models, and in the model you see exactly the results which are measured, the results which are predicted. So it means that also if you look, So there are two points here. One point here that there is a lot of heterogeneity in the system, and actually you have to be careful when you measure the resistance. You have to either to fix K1 to K2 or to test all the scaling, and you have another new exponent here. So everything depends on where you start and where you reach. And the other is when you don't care about it, but you integrate over all of them, you still see the in the global picture, if you take all the times, this is the average, the total average time, and the total resistance here, you still see these lows, which appear, although you have a big range, you see this range actually depends very much on points which are, these are the range of small degree, and this is the range of large degree. But all of them scale together. So all of them do the scaling, and the scaling goes according to these laws in the fractal case. This is the fractal case, and they follow the Einstein relation, which means that there is a relation between the exponent of diffusion and the exponent of resistance. Both are related to this dB. So let me summarize. So if you look on scale-free properties, you have scale-free networks, you have actually anomalous properties, like the distance is log n, when lambda is smaller than 3, and different percolation, not only PC different, but the exponents are also different. I did not have time to go into it. And there is a rich topology which you can distinguish between two types of real networks. One type is fractals, and they have a lot of structure in it. And this fractal actually can also teach you about function of the network, which we found in some paper. And there are known fractal networks, which means that you cannot cover it, when you cover this boxes, if you don't see a Pauli relation between the number of boxes and the size of the box, these are the known fractals. You see exponential, and this is a Pauli relation. Now, as you can see that scale-free can be regarded, so this model can be regarded as a generalization of Herbert-Schrödinger. Why? Because for lambda greater than 4, we have the same results of Herbert-Schrödinger almost in everything. It's like infinite dimension and regular mean field works, but for lambda smaller than 4, you start to get effect of scale-free, and the results are different. As I showed you, anomalous transport, Bohr distribution of diffusion constant conductances, and the diffusion constant depends strongly on the nodes ij, mainly on their degree, and this is because of the heterogeneous topology. And the applications of this is one can optimize the network against various type of failures. If you understand the topology, you can generate some more efficient network where the so if you have a model, if you have a theoretical result, you can find topologies which are more robust to different type of failures. And also, understanding topology helps you to optimize transport, searching, navigating on network. Thank you very much.